And we're going to share some things that kind of came up in my heart today, and things that we may already know, but I just think it's good to be reminded. And again, welcome if you've just tuned in, or those that are tuning in. And we're going to share for a few moments on what we're speaking out of our mouths, and something that God just put in my heart today just to focus on. And, you know, one of the things I keep thinking about when Brother Copeland was here in last year, he said, this is a word church. You know, we ought to be word people. And the foundation of this church, we know, is on Jesus Christ, but it's a word church. It's a church that was founded on the Word of God and speaking. And one of the things I want to just focus on is that particular area and talking about what we're saying with our mouths. And, you know, the success or the failure in our lives can a lot of times, you know, we blame the devil, but we open the door to give him access by the words that we speak. And so we want to really just focus on that. We're not trying to walk around be the word police, but you know, a lot of times people, if you just stop and, you know, take an inventory of some of the things that we say, it can be enlightening. So we're just going to take a moment again, as I said, and share this message. I don't know how many messages we'll do on this, but we've called this the voice of faith. You know, faith has a voice. Faith needs to be spoken. One of the things that, you know, we've been speaking on a number of messages is being in Him, in Christ realities. And the scripture that we've been focusing on, Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption. Well, you know, just think about that. When we became a brand new person in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And what does that mean? My spirit was made brand new. So I've got a new person on the inside, a brand new spirit, new ground. And so the seed of God's word, which is what we're going to focus on a little bit this evening, is the incorruptible seed of God's word is now planted in the soil, into my spirit, and it needs to be nurtured and watered. And when it is, it produces faith. And faith that is spoken will produce something. It'll produce results. So God made us in the image and likeness. We're made in His image and likeness. What did God do in Genesis chapter 1 and 2? He spoke things into existence. And so we wanted to just look at that. God spoke words. We're made in His image and likeness. So we want to, we're to speak words. You know, I've shared in times past that we are a spirit being, and the words, God is a spirit, John 4:24, and He's a spirit, and we're a spirit, and we need to watch the words that come out of our mouths because they are spiritual. What do I mean by that? The words that you speak in faith are spiritual. They're containers of the life that comes out of your spirit, or the spiritual fruit that comes out of your spirit. It can be death or it can be life. And so that words or the words that we speak that are spoken in faith can be, well, not can be, they are creative. They'll either create life or they'll create death. You know, one of the things that I think about is years ago, after I got born again, I started going to a lot of meetings where Charles Capps, who's in heaven now, he spent a lot of time talking about words that we speak. And he shared that, you know, this was an area of his life that he focused on a lot, on words that he would speak, and looking at the Word of God, those that were teaching it at the time. Brother Hagin was teaching it, Kenneth Copeland and others. And I remember at that time, Charles Capps said, you know, he liked to fish, he liked to hunt, he liked to do things outdoors. And he said inevitably, when he went into the woods, he would get poison ivy. And he said he just began to exercise the Word of God, where he began to speak God's Word, that it was health and life. He would begin to make a profession of faith. And he said, during that time, from the time the seed gets planted, and he said, you know, he was a farmer. He lived in Arkansas. And he said he knew that you just didn't plant a seed and get a harvest. So there was a time from the time of planting to harvest. So he knew that. So he said, well, in the interim of planting God's seed, the Word of God's, the seed of God's Word in my heart, he said, I still put calamine lotion on my skin to kind of deal with the symptoms. But he said, I kept speaking the Word of God. I kept planting, I kept watering, and I kept speaking. And he said it was about 6 months to a year that he said he could go into the woods and he could grab a poison ivy vine and grab it and strip it right down, and he said it never bothered him at all. And so what are we saying? That it takes time for the incorruptible seed of God's Word to begin to work in your life. And the Word of God, the seed of God's Word, will work in any area of your life. That means it'll work in the area of healing. It'll work in the area of prosperity. It'll work in the area of success in your life. But it takes time. And the seed of God's Word needs to be listened to. It needs to be planted first and then continually watered. And after that watering, there eventually there becomes a harvest. And so we wanted to just look at that, you know, even the little things that people do and say, it's good to confess. This is the best year. I know we've not just entered in, but we're in the, you know, first quarter of this new year. It'd be good to say, this is the best year that I'll ever have, that I've ever had, not ever have, but ever had. This is my best year. Well, maybe you had a great year last year. Well, it can be better. This is my best year. And you begin to make those professions of faith, and regardless of what you're walking through. Because God has promised us that if we'll meditate on His Word, let it not depart from our eyes or our mouths, day and night, meditate therein, that we will have a success. We will be a success. And so, it would be good to just watch. This is a, you know, we could say this is a new year, and it's a new slate. This is the time that we need to make professions of faith. If you want to see a change in your life, then you need to change something that you're saying and or doing, one or the other. And so one of the things that we want to look at is Isaiah 55:11. And in the King James Version, and you know, I've heard ministers say this, you know, God's word was first spoken, but then God's word was first spoken, then written, but now God's word that is written needs to be spoken. So we need to take the word of God that's been written, meditate on it, let the, you know, as it says, the entrance of his word bringeth light. It brings understanding and revelation, and we need to speak it. But Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So what are we seeing here? The word of God first went forth out of his mouth. And it says, it shall not return unto me, what? Void or empty. Or you could say it won't return unto him, not being able to produce. But it says what? But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So here we're seeing from the prophet Isaiah, it says the word first came forth out of what? God's mouth. And it must be heard and received and believed and then what? Spoken. And the speaking part is the planting part. We speak that, it gets planted where? In our hearts. And the speaking is the planting and the watering. Romans 10, 9 and 10, we can see here. It says that if you shall what? Confess with your mouth. You've got to speak with your mouth and confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life. He's Lord. And you believe in your heart that what? God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You know, I think sometimes, or we could say this, there's no such thing as possession without confession. Another way is to say it is there's no harvest or possession without confession or planting. You just take a simple thing. No farmer is going to get a harvest unless he prepares the ground and plants the seed. And all things, as we say, if all the conditions are right, and you get the right amount of sunshine and the right amount of good weather, and you get the right amount of rain, you're going to get a harvest. You cannot stop the seed from producing. When it goes into the ground, it will produce after its own kind. And this is what God's word is saying. He said, the word, so shall the word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void unto him. So we need to keep our minds stayed on that. John 6:63 in the King James says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Not death, they are life. And the Passion Translation of 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, and it says, and through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again. And this seed, we're talking about the incorruptible seed of God's word, and this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside of you forever. I'll tell you, that's exciting to me. That means if Jesus tarries and we leave this body and go to heaven, the seed that's been planted in our hearts will live forever. It means what we learn here, we're taken to heaven. And it'll just be expanded upon. We'll get greater and further revelation. We will see as we are seen. And we will know as we are known. And so we are going to have a further revelation, but that means we can have more here. We are to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. You know, so often, this season that we're in here, things are not going to get better, so to speak. The devil is running loose in this earth, and he's been given the right to, in other words, it said he's the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world, but he's been dethroned. Jesus said all power in heaven and earth is his. And then he said for us to go forth and to make disciples of all men. So just the same way that Jesus anointed the disciples and he anointed the 70 to go forth and to heal the sick and cast out demons, we've been charged and given his authority to go forth and to do what? Take back the things that the devil has stolen or taken control of people's lives. We have the incorruptible power of God's word, the seed of God's word that's available to us. And since we have that, faith is produced by the word of God. And so the power of God's word, the seed of God's word we have. And if we just water it and we nurture it, then we have to do what? In order for it to produce, it's got to be spoken. And just the same way the farmer plants in the field, we have to do the same thing. We have to speak the word of God, and it will produce after its own kind. And I think sometimes when we don't see results, we think it's not working. And we kind of think things should happen real quick. And our time frame is not necessarily God's time frame. But what he's expecting us to do is to have faith in his word, trusting him that his word will not return void. And let's look at an account here where Matthew 17 and starting in verse 14 in the King James. This is after he anointed them in Matthew 10. He gave them power over unclean spirits in verse 1 of chapter 10. But now here in chapter 17, and starting in verse 14, it says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not." Isn't that interesting? He's saying they could not cure him. "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, so they're asking him a question. He didn't beat around the bush and so forth. What did he say? Because of your unbelief. And verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, what does it say? You shall say. So faith has to be released in words. Faith has to be spoken. And it says, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And then, of course, you know, in Matthew 10:1, I'll just read it quick. He said, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then it goes on and says, they came back rejoicing because the devils, you know, responded to his name. And so it wasn't as if they weren't out exercising that and were getting results. They were getting results. And here they ran into something. And what did they do? They confessed, I can't. They began to say something other than what they had been told. And so Jesus, being the Word, told them, you go in my name. You speak my name, and they'll respond. Demons will respond. Sickness will respond. Because they were acting on Jesus' behalf. They were acting in his name. Luke 17, verse 5 in the King James. 5 and 6. It says here, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So here we can see that faith and speaking are tied together. You go down and looking at these things where we just got done looking in Matthew 17 and verse 20. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. Here Jesus is saying the same thing in Luke 17, 5 and 6. So faith is as a seed, and it works as a seed. It must be spoken. It must be planted in order to produce. And the planting is in the speaking. So we've been delivered. We're brand new persons in Christ. We're brand new. We have a brand new spirit. We are God's husbandry or God's garden. And we've been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been translated into his kingdom, into the kingdom of his dear Son. So our heart is the soil. It's undefiled. It's brand new. And our heart is the garden or the soil. And we need to do what? Plant the seed of God's word into our heart and water it. And when we say it'll produce faith. When we keep watering, then what happens? We begin to see something in the Word of God. Faith is there, and then faith must be spoken to produce, to change something. And in the New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. This is Paul speaking. He said, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. So there's a planting, because we're trying to make a point here. The seed has to be planted, and it must be watered, and it's God who makes it to grow. You know, I think so often we try to make something happen. We try to put, you know, there's nothing wrong with having inspiration or inspiration in our heart to say something or speak something, or we have an unction to speak something, but we can't make the harvest come. I guess that's my point. We can't make it grow. It's God who makes it to grow. That's what this is saying. Paul said, I planted the seed in your hearts. So there's the hearing part, and then he planted it. And then he said what? Apollos came in behind him and did what? He watered it. But it was God who made it to grow. And that's why I keep sharing how, you know, I made a decision to read 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 through 8. Does that mean that we're perfect? We don't miss it? No. But what it means is I planted the seed. It's being watered. I'm watering it every day. Watering, watering, watering. But it's God who makes the increase of his love in our hearts. Whether it's that, whether it's for finances, whether it's for prosperity, take the word of God, take 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day, and take that time, read his word, and profess it over your life. And it's God who will make it to grow. He will bring about the increase in your life. You don't have to make it happen. He'll make it happen. You know, I think about, Charles Capps, he began to take God's word and he began to operate it in his life, and as others have, and took hold of what he was sharing. And I remember he said, you know, he used to like to fish. And he was out, you know, a bunch of guys were out fishing. And he said he would command the fish to come to him. He worked the word, even in his just personal time. He said, I command the fish to come to me. And he said, he's pulling in fish one after another. He's, you know, out on a freshwater lake. He's pulling them in. And the other guys on the other side of the boat are getting annoyed at him, saying, hey, we're not getting anything. How come you're getting all the fish on your side? Let's switch. And they switched. And he commanded the fish to come to him. And guess what? They didn't get anything. And he made a fun about it. But the point was that he kept speaking what he wanted. You know, he used to use this example, which was so simple, but he used to say, call that which be not as though it were. He said, if you want the dog, in other words, if you go to the back door and the dog's not there, you call the dog. If the dog is there, why are you calling the dog? You don't call that which is as though it was not. In other words, as though it were. It is there. So you don't call something that you have. You call something that you don't have. If you're not prospering, that's not the time to make negative confessions. When you're not prospering or you don't have something that you desire or something promised, that's not the time to gripe and complain about it. That's the time, more than ever, to say, I have this. This is mine. Now, maybe your flesh doesn't understand and your soul is fighting you, but that's the time that you need to decree what it is that you desire, what it is that you're going to have, not maybe, but I decree this is what I'm going to have. I'm going to have this. Because what does it say here in Proverbs chapter 6? Let me just jump ahead here. In Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 2, in the King James, it says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." And the Amplified Classic of that verse, it says, "You are snared with the words of your lips, you are caught by the speech of your mouth." So a lot of times when people get frustrated, we all do, there's, you know, your flesh gets antsy and you get frustrated about something, and what do? You begin to release words that snare or put something in motion that you don't want. Or you're further snaring yourself into a situation that you're already in, rather than getting you out of that or begin to decree that I'm not going to have that. We're going to have this. We're going to have this. And you may have to go through a period of time of saying some things, but you will have what you say. Proverbs 21:23 in the King James. It says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." And the Passion Translation, it says, "Watch your words and be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised how few troubles you'll have." So what is that really saying? You can't blame all of the troubles you're having on the devil. A lot of times, it's what we're saying. We're releasing words that are doing what? Setting boundaries, opening doors, something that Charles Capp shared years ago that really just was enlightening to me at the time. He reminded us that we are a spirit made in the image and likeness of God. And your spirit man can lead you. It's God's spirit in us that leads us. But the words that you speak and put in your heart can cause your own human spirit to lead you. In other words, what am I saying? Things that you speak can become and do become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you want to speak negative, you can get up. He shared actual accounts that of people he knew that just said, "You know what? Whatever I do, it just doesn't work. You know, I tried getting a job here. It didn't work out for me. It just doesn't work." And was confessing negative. And he left this job, and he said he just was impressed to pick up the paper and follow out this ad. And he went and got the job, and he said, what happened? He got laid off. So what happened? He said his spirit man led him to go follow something that did what? Fulfill the words that he spoke. And so sometimes we need to watch that, because our words shall come to pass. What we speak, let's say it another way. The words that you keep speaking, good or bad, in faith will produce a harvest. So something that you speak, if you just say something and maybe you didn't really mean it in your heart, well, it's not going to come to pass the first time you speak it. But if you keep meditating on it and you keep mulling it over, and you keep speaking it, and you keep thinking about it, how everybody's against you, and things ain't just working out, and your mind and your soul begin to affect your heart and the words that you speak, you say it enough, and something will come to pass. I've had a few instances where I said something many, many, many years ago, 40-some years ago, I said something almost thinking I was smart saying it, and I ended up getting it. And this was before I was born again. And the Lord reminded me of that. You know, I'm thinking of one of the deacons in our church. He was in special ops, and he said they were somewhere, you know, a small group behind enemy lines, and he said there was a small group of them, about five, and he said this was before he was saved and born again, and he said this guy, they were getting ready to be dropped by a helicopter. They were under enemy fire, and he said this guy was all nervous, which he's part of, you know, he was a trained fighter. And he said he started saying, "We're going to get killed. We're going to get killed." And he said, he told him, "Shut your mouth." And he said, the minute this guy got off the helicopter, he got shot and killed. And so, even now, Deacon Tony says, I reflect back that you never, he said, now we didn't even know God's word or principles, but you never talked defeat. You never talked, we're not getting out of here. You never talked that we're not going to go through this. You always talked positive. And so here, that's just on the natural side of things. But when we take God's word, which is incorruptible, and we begin to plant that in our heart, the principle's still the same, that God watches over his word to perform it. It won't come back void. But we need to also, in our everyday living, in our everyday, you know, life, watch the things that we say on a regular basis. Watch the things that we think about and meditate on and say. Because if you say it enough, it'll begin to produce a harvest for you. And you need to just consider that, because that's not God's will. He desires us to be healthy and whole. He desires us to be prosperous. And he desires for us to be a success in this life. And he died for that. And we need to, it's not wondering, well, how come all this stuff is happening to me? Maybe it's one inch below your nose. And maybe it's that we're saying some things that we shouldn't. We can be snared and entrapped. Let's take a look, I kind of jumped ahead a little bit here, but let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4:13 in the Passion Translation. It says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed and then I spoke in faith. I like that. First I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then speak in faith. So the spirit of faith is not limited, or you could say the spirit of faith is unlimited. You could also say it's possibility faith. In other words, the spirit of faith declares the outcome of something in the middle of an adversity. What did Jesus do? He said, let us go to the other side. And then what happened? There was a storm. He went to sleep, and the disciples say, awaken him up. He's asleep, saying, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he got up and did what? Rebuked the wind and began to give them a what for, as they say. He began to say to them, you know, how come, what's the deal with your lack of faith? So God's not going to move your mouth. That's the point here. God is expecting you. You can have faith, but you've got to move your mouth. You've got to be the one to speak and release words of faith. God will reveal. He'll unfold his word and reveal. He'll inspire us, but he ultimately expects us to speak in this earth. We are his mouthpiece in this earth. He will work through us, but he's the one that is expecting us to release words of faith. We're to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. Something I read a number of years ago that I thought was an interesting point made. It said, the thing that made Methodism, this is the Methodist Church, the thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. When they stopped affirming, or when they stopped confessing, faith stopped growing, and believing or acting upon the word became more difficult. So we need to make sure that we don't stop decreeing and affirming who we are in him. You know, we spent a number of lessons talking about in him we are. We have this. We are the righteousness of God. We are brand new creatures. We have been redeemed from what? The curse of the law. And so there are a number of things that we have in him, but we need to affirm that. We need to constantly affirm who we are, not what the world says we are. So with God, Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And the Passion Translation says, not one promise from God is empty of power. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah. So you can never achieve the impossible if you never attempt the impossible. A lot of times we hesitate and we don't try to pursue the impossible, but you'll never achieve the impossible if you don't what? Attempt the impossible. So faith must be acted upon. Faith must be spoken. Hebrews 10:23 in the Passion Translation says, so now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. Glory to God. And this one, the Amplified Classic, in the Amplified Classic, Galatians 6:9, and then the Passion Translation, it says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right, for in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. And the Passion Translation, I like this, it says, and don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. So don't get weary and disheartened because you've spoken some things and you haven't seen it yet. Keep speaking it. Continually affirm that that's mine. I have that in Jesus' name. And this says here, what? Don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seeds. Don't allow it. Don't let those thoughts get in your mind and stay there. Glory to God. So we're going to continue on this, but I just felt in my heart that we need to remind ourselves. Let's just look at one last scripture in James chapter 3 and verse 2 in the Passion Translation. These are reminders. James chapter 3 and verse 2 in the Passion Translation. It says, we all fail in many areas, but especially with what? Our words. Yet, if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way, and that means our character is mature and fully developed. So we need to remind ourselves, watch the words that come out. They will produce if you keep speaking them and you keep watering them, good or bad. And you want to, as much as lieth within you, speak the words that'll produce life. You know, when the Holy Spirit has a way, He will remind us. And as you keep feeding on the Word of God, He'll remind you of things you need to correct where your speech is concerned. And all of us desire, you know, to have good things happening in life. And that's exactly what Proverbs was sharing when we shared those Proverbs 21:23. It said, whoso keepeth his mouth, in the King James, and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. So watch the words that come out. Keep those words such that you don't create destruction and problems, or open doors for problems in your life. And praise God. I trust that helps, because it's just something that the Holy Spirit reminded me to remind all of us. It's good to meditate on it and remind ourselves, this is a new year, and it's the best year that I've ever had. And it's going to be a productive year. It's going to be a prosperous year. Everything we set our hands to is blessed. When we go in, we're blessed. When we go out, we're blessed. Our families are blessed. Our bank accounts are full and overflowing. Even when you don't have the money, what are you supposed to do? Say so. Call it so. And begin to decree that you're going to have such and such. You're going to have this. And you're prosperous. Your body is prosperous. Your family is prosperous. And maybe you're not walking in all of that at this point, but decree it. And it shall come to pass. And what we read in Galatians, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in planting good seed. For what does it say? In due season, you shall reap. King James says you'll reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, Father, we thank you for reminding us of your word. It's the watering, it's the planting and watering of the word, and you give the increase. So, Father, we thank you for the seeds that have been sown in our hearts and the watering of your word. We thank you that it'll produce in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, something the Lord just brought to my remembrance here. You can sit by and wonder why something's not happening in your life, or you can do what? You are a king and a priest, and Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said, what things soever you what? Bind on earth or forbid on earth must already be forbidden in heaven, and what things you loose on earth must already be loosed in heaven. So you can sit by the wayside and wonder why things aren't happening, or you can decree something and say, this is going to be what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And God has put us in charge here in this earth. He's anointed us. He has made us brand new creatures in Christ. And so we are, just as it said in Mark 11:23. Think about it. He said, whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, those things that he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So think about that. He just got done saying, whosoever can have whatsoever he saith, if you doubt not what you say. So he didn't say, well, you can have just this. He said, whosoever can have whatsoever if you don't doubt. And so we need to change our words instead of saying, well, we can't do that. Well, maybe in the natural you can't do it, but you can speak to the opposition. You can say, we are going to do this. By faith, we are going to do this. By faith, we are going to have this. And if you don't doubt, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, before we leave the air here, and we leave the stream, we always want to give those who might be watching or those who may watch an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we remind you of what the Scripture says, and it said in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that whosoever confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead shall be saved. You know, when you do that, when you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, what does that actually mean? It means that he wasn't raised from the dead and released from hell because of his sin. He was released from hell because of your sin. That means that when we were justified, when God said, justice has been served, sin has been paid for, that was our sin. And Jesus was released from hell. So when you say, Jesus is Lord, and he was raised from the dead, that's saying that you're free from sin. You have been justified. So it's more than just believing that in your heart, but you must do what? Confess that with your mouth. So let's make that simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is Lord. And I believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead and that I am now justified. I receive him as my Savior. I ask you, Jesus, to cleanse me of unrighteousness. Make me a brand new person in Christ. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I decree now that I am saved, and I will serve you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Now, if you did that and you made that simple profession of faith, then let us know. We'll send you something free of charge. We'll send you something that will let you know who you've become in Christ. You can either email us or call us and or send us a note, and we'll send that out to you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We rejoice with those that may have accepted Christ as their Savior.